A lot of times we might not like what we have to go through, Scott. Sometimes, most of the time, it's tougher to give in to God than what we want to do, because the way we choose is going to be easier, right? But when we give in to God, hey, the end result, once again, is the same. He's going to pull you through, and He's always there with you. Amen? I'm going to tell you a little story this morning. Let's bow our heads one more time, if you would. Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity. I thank You for a platform to share the gospel. Father, Your word is what we need, is what we have to survive. So, Father, I thank You this morning as I spend the next few minutes, moments, in sharing what You put on my heart, that it may touch somebody this morning, maybe set them free from maybe an addiction, or Lord, open a road up that they never thought that they could walk down. Father, most importantly this morning, just to hear from You. That's what we all need, is to hear from You. So Father, just bless my mouth this morning for the next few moments so I can speak Your words. Amen. Let me tell you a story. It happened to me this week. It all falls together. I actually have a funeral for a guy at 2 o'clock. And I want to tell you this little story because I like to preach on things that happened to me directly. Because I know the Lord turns things into sermons, and everything that you do, no matter how your actions are, God can use what you're doing. And He has used you, whether it's been good or bad, the Lord has used you. But I was, this guy right here, his name is Robert. He'd been a family friend, a friend of my dad's for years. We're talking 40 years at least. He loved to hunt with him. He'd come and get him when he was sick with cancer. He literally picked him up and carried him to the stand so he could hunt. That's how much good a friend he was. But he's never stepped through the doors of a church. And when I found out about a month ago that he had liver cancer and that it was bad, I said, okay, I got to go see him. I have to. Time went on and 3 weeks went by. And I was getting off the bypass. He don't live far from the bypass there on 50. And Thursday I was getting off the bypass. And I feel the Lord spoke to me. Go see him. Okay? So I said, okay, I'm going right now because I really don't have any other time. Any other time I don't have. I just don't have the time, John. So I got to go right now. I got to make the time. Because most of the time, you don't have time. Y'all listening? We're going to have to make the time to do what God tells us to do. Right? So I got off the bypass. And I asked this guy, I said, man, you want to go with me? Because the last time I talked to him, he said, when you go visit somebody, let me know. I would like to go with you. I said, no problem. So long story short, the guy said, yeah. I went over to his house, went to get him. Somehow it didn't work out. He couldn't go. I done killed the time. I had to be somewhere else. So I said, you know what? I'll go tomorrow. And you know what that brings. So I wake up, guess what? The guy passed away. To my big relief, the only reason I was going over it, number one, he was so good to my dad, but the main reason was I wanted to make sure he was right before he left. Because you never know. Just because he was sick, that don't mean that you could pass tomorrow. You could pass today. We got to be right. We better be right in our heart. We better be lined up. We better know where we're going. And that was my main concern of visiting him. But I found out with a big relief. Here's the story in the story too. He had never darted the doors of the church all his life except for a wedding. The lady that told me about it said she had been praying for him, and she told this just earlier this year, a few months before he got diagnosed, she sent a prayer request into the church. They all prayed for him to get saved. 2 months later, in July, he went to church, Gene, got saved and baptized. Then a month later, he got diagnosed with cancer. The Lord knew something. Don't you think? There's no opinion, because I'm fixing to tell you how I know. Brother Larry, if you would bring up Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And let me tell you what the word says. Listen closely. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. There's going to be a word behind you saying. Number one, I believe that he heard a word from God saying, you need to go to church. He might not have known why, but he went to church, got saved. Then the next thing you know, he's gone. What if he wouldn't have listened and obeyed that voice? Now, he obeyed, I didn't. When I got off that bypass, I should have went right then. There was no reason for me not to. But this guy right here told me he wanted to. I can use that all day. But when I hear the voice, and when you hear the voice telling you a direction, when you feel something pulling you, when you hear the Lord speaking to you, you cannot put it off. Because I can tell you, 10 out of 10 times in my life that I put it off, I saw the consequences. But 10 out of 10 times when I obeyed, I also saw the good consequences. The Lord just doesn't speak. You just don't get a thought out of the ordinary for no reason at all. You just don't get a direction from God and you're just like, oh man, I made that up. No, the Lord, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or whenever you turn to the left. When you hear that voice, Scott, that's nobody but God. The Spirit is speaking to you. Now, a lot of times we can get in the flesh. And our mind does speak to us. Am I right? But we have got to be sensitive and let the Spirit speak to us. I knew yesterday, it happens, it's happened a lot. And then I'm so used to it. I kind of knew when I got crossed up and wasted that little time that I had. And when I said I'll go tomorrow, man, there's always a sour feeling in my stomach. And I woke up and he had done passed. But thank God that he was ready. But what if he wouldn't have been? How many times have the Lord spoke to you and you haven't obeyed? I'm going to move on here. I want to go to John 16, 13 through 14. And this is what it says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare to you. Brother Larry, can you go back to 13? I want y'all to take a look at something here. We'll go back to the guy. Never stepped foot in church. All right? And the woman prayed for it, and she got a group at church to pray for her, for him, that he would get saved. Now the Lord must have spoke to this guy, because look what it says right here. He hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Lord had to have been speaking to him. We will never know until that day, but the Lord must have been speaking to him that something was going on. He spoke to me to get off and go pray with him because he knew something was to come. And what was to come? The next day he was gone, Scott. So the Lord knew something was to come, and look where he's at. So when the Lord speaks to you, He knows what He's doing. He can see what's to come. He can see what's down the road. He knows what tomorrow holds. He holds the future. Now I want y'all to answer the question honestly. It's just a simple question. Has the Lord ever spoken to anybody that you feel? Has anybody ever heard a voice? When I say voice, it could be that feeling, or it can be a something in your mind. How many has heard something from the Lord, you think? Most everybody. And you know what? It was for a reason. The Lord doesn't just talk to be talking. He is the Spirit of truth. He knows all things. He's everlasting. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He knows the things that are to come. He knows what's in your life. He knows what's ahead of you tomorrow. He knows next Monday. He knows next Friday. He knows what's going on. So when He speaks to you, we have to obey. And when you don't obey, it could cost you dearly. It could cost somebody a trip to eternity without Christ in their heart. I can tell you right now, when the Lord speaks to you to go speak to somebody, maybe that's lost, something's coming up. There's a reason. Something's on the horizon. I've seen plenty of people. Brandy told me one time there was this person that came to her and wanted to talk, but she didn't talk to him next, I guess, a week later or a month later. He blew his brains out. She knew he was coming to her for a reason. And then all of a sudden, it happens. But the Lord, if you will just take heed to what the Lord is saying to you, it'll make our lives a whole lot smoother. You know, we're going to have to stand before God and give an account of people that we ignored or the people that we just missed, period. Because a lot of times we get caught up in our regular... Joe, it's easy to get caught up, isn't it? We're busy. I passed Joe the other day and he was broke down on the side of the road. He needed a fuel pump. Hey, you wasn't thinking nothing else but that, right? It's easy to do. We get caught up. If somebody would have walked by you on fire, you'd probably been like, hold on just a second, right? That's life. That's all of us. What is your goals? What are you trying to accomplish in your everyday life? Do you want to reach people's lives? Or do you want to self-satisfy you? What do you have to offer other people? What do you want to hear God tell? What is God going to speak to you? And then when He speaks to you, what are you going to do about it? I guarantee there's people right now that God has spoken to you about that you haven't done. You haven't done anything about it. I guarantee you God has spoken to a lot of people. There's probably in here singers, probably the Lord's laid on your heart, songs and things and sermons, Sunday school teachers, ideas to present that you just haven't done it yet. And you say, oh, I can't do that, or that's too much for me. But no, the Lord knows, and He knows the way He made you, so He knows what He can do. And He knows what you can do. He's the Spirit of truth. Let me go to another scripture. Well, not yet. Let me switch gears for just a second. Just give me a few more minutes. To end that story there is, we must listen to the voice of God. Because He's speaking to us every day. He's always speaking to us. And when He does, there's a reason. Don't deny that voice. Now as I switch gears, I want to turn our attention to the 12 disciples. Jesus and the 12 disciples. We talked about this Wednesday night in class. But I just kind of want to throw this out there. I want to see where you're at spiritually. Okay? Because they are spiritual grown-up people and they're spiritual babies. just like in real life, you have your baby stage, you have your teenage years, your 20s, 30s, and it's a steady progress. But then there's your 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds that still act like teenagers. There's teenagers that act like 40-year-olds. Y'all got where I'm at now? But I want to talk about two disciples. They're very popular. One is Judas. We know who Judas is, don't we, Donna? And the other one is Peter. Okay, y'all know who Peter is. Very popular. Okay? Judas betrayed Jesus. For what? Can anybody tell me? 30 pieces of money. You said money, didn't you? That's correct. And Peter did what? Denied him three times. And guess what? Peter was one of those guys that was in Jesus' face. Jesus, not me. All these things that I've seen you do, I will always be here for you. I'm there for you, Jesus. Y'all with me? The 12 disciples saw Jesus perform miracles, walked with Jesus, heard sermons, was right there beside Jesus. And Judas sold him out for just a little bit of money. And I'm going to tell you right now about money. It's great, okay? But it's going to go quick. It will burn up so fast. Money's good, but it's not something you can put your faith and you can put your trust in, because just as sure as you get it, it'll go out just as quick. So Judas, for whatever reason, sold Jesus out for that little amount of money. And I say little amount, I don't care if it was worth $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, that you will go through it just like that. So he sold him out, Scott. But you know what? Can you put up the next scripture, Mr. Larry, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. And this is what it says. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are not carnal and behaving like mere men. For when one says, I am Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? It says, basically, I can't give you the meat of the word. Now, let me tell you this right here. I want to see where you're spiritual, where you're at spiritually. Does anybody know who Vince McMahon is? Gene, he's the owner of a wrestling federation, and I'm gonna kind of close it on this right here, okay? Funny, but I was listening to an interview, and there was another guy, Jesse the Body Ventura, which was a Minnesota governor. He hated him. Vince McMahon said he hated him, Gene. Even when he was wrestling for him, he hated him. Okay. Then he quit Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon said he even hated him more. And then they became partners. And that guy that was interviewing Vince said, man, who was one of your favorite partners? And Vince McMahon said, Jesse the Body Ventura. He said, wait a minute, wait, did you just say Jesse the Body Ventura? Don't you hate him? Yes. He said, don't you despise him? Yes. He said, well, why is he one of your favorite business partners? He said, if you can work with somebody and make billions of dollars with them, you would get along with them too. Okay, here's where I'm getting at. You say, Jesus was with these people that wore turncoats on him. Okay? Now, let me ask you this. Because let me tell y'all real quick. In every room, there's a Judas. In every one of your rooms, there's a Judas. In every one of your lives, there's a Peter. Now, I'm asking you. Can you still invite Judas to your house for supper? Can you still hang out with Peter and get along? Or are you a baby in Christ? Because He just said, I can't feed you meat because you're still a baby. You're still carnal. That means, you know what that means? That we can't handle it, Scott. If you look at churches today, everywhere you go, there's babies. We can't be fed the real word because we're not ready for it. I didn't say it. That's what the Word says. Where there's strife, division, there it is. So can you still sit down to supper with Peter? Can you still invite Judas over? Can you look at somebody and know that they're the Judas and still say, hey, I can get along with them because I know my God has got me in control? Or do you look at them and take off running? Or do you look at them and how you say, hey, let's go right now. Okay? So this is a challenge spiritually. Where are you at spiritually, Joe? Don't answer. I'm just talking. Don't answer that. Brandy, where are you at spiritually? I know you hate me, but you got to live with me. Amen. Who said that? There you go. I want to know where your spirituality is today. Are you still a babe in Christ, or can you handle the meat of the Word? There's a lot of churches that will not speak the truth. Because when they speak the truth, people shoot out the door. Now, I'm not saying a big church or a small church. I'm not for either one. I'm for wherever the Word of God is. Amen? Amen. But most of the time, if you see something, a huge church, we'll say huge, and it's not every case. When you draw a big crowd, it's because people are getting told what they want to hear. And when you're getting told what you want to hear, oh, it's a party. But when the meat of the Word gets thrown out, then everybody has to check yourself. Amen? So the meat of the Word is the Lord is trying to teach us and mold us, just like you teach your child. When you tell him or her the truth, what does that child do? Kicks back. Until you get it in and you make them and you mold them, and then they understand. That's what the Lord and that's what the Spirit does to us. That's what He tries to do to speak to us. And it goes all the way back to what I was talking to you at first. When we hear the Spirit of God speak to us, when we hear the Spirit of truth, we must act on it. Because we're going to crash every time. Every time. Where are you at today? Let me ask you, are you a spiritual child? Are you a spiritual teenager? Are you a spiritual grown-up? Where do you think you're at today? I just want you to sit and think. How do you know your spiritual growth is where it needs to be? I guess when you're like Vince McMahon, you can look in the person in the eye that you hate and still have a great business with them. And if you can't handle that, then you might be a spiritual child today. Are you ready for the meat of the Word? Are you still on that milk? Think about it for a second. Because God wants us all to know the truth, and that's how we get stronger. That's how we become what we need to be. Because we're in the days right now, the fight's coming to us. The fight is upon our doorstep. And we've got to be strong. We can't take off running off every little thing that's said and done. We have got to face it head on and tell the devil, you have no say in this church. You have no say in our lives. You have no say in my family. You have no say in my marriage. No say in my kids. No say on our Sunday school teachers. This county, this state, this America, it belongs to God. And you can't have it, devil. Or we can all back up and say, man, I'm not getting into that. Not me. I don't want no part of it. Then we're still on milk. To get strong, you got to eat some food. And that's the real word of God. We got to eat meat and not milk. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand on our feet if we would. Father, I thank you so much this morning. As we come into your house and hear your word. Father, your word is strong, it's stout. It sharpens us, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, everybody here, including myself, we want to grow up. We want to be where we need to be. We want to be spiritually strong. We want to be ready for the meat of the word and not the milk. So, Father, I'm asking this morning to speak to us as I open the altars up. Lord, and maybe you're speaking to somebody today. Maybe as you spoke to me about going to see Robert, Lord, maybe somebody's being spoken to right now. And Lord, we need help hearing your voice. We need help knowing that's your voice. So, Father, we're looking to you this morning for clarity. And I'm going to ask this morning, as Brother Larry plays a little bit of this CD here, if anybody in here, either one, you ready to hear what God has to say to you or for you, or if this morning you're ready to be a spiritual grown-up and you're tired of feeding off the milk and you're ready for the meat of the Word, if that's you this morning, I'm going to open the altars just for a couple minutes just to come forward and say, God, here I am. Speak to me as you only can. If that's you this morning, Brother Larry, if you would go ahead and play the CD. And I'm going to open these altars up for just a few moments.